And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 47, what we are and aren't reading. I am Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
I am Murray Fox.
Yes, this week we are going to talk about things that we're reading and enjoying, and things that we might have been, you know, used to be reading and have stopped for whatever reason, and you know, things like that, and whatever else comes up. So,
let's start with the long suffering letter sitting in our inbox for a month from Robin.
Yes, yes, please read that one.
I'm going to, and make yourself comfortable. Smoke them if you got them. This is a long one.
That's fine.
All right, so again, bear in mind this is a month ago, so June 3rd, in fact. What are we on today? Recording
July day. July 1st. Happy Canada Day.
It's what?
It's Canada Day.
Canada Day? You guys get a whole day?
We get a whole day.
Wow.
What are you guys going to do with it?
Lounge around, barbecue, set up fireworks, you know.
Huh, interesting.
You know, here in the States... Robin, we'll get your letter, I swear. Here in the States, they've canceled over 75% of the 4th of July, scheduled 4th of July fireworks shows.
I'm not surprised.
Dryness. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, this kind of
fire.
Going through some of this is going to tie into what we're doing this podcast, just looking through this email. Anyway.
Yes, yes, it will. All right. So, from Robin Bunting, out of somewhere in England. Hey guys, it's been a while. I've been intending to send an email for some time, but have been really busy. Or should that be really lazy? Oh well. Hey, he's a true comic book reader. All right. I'm not one of the listeners who disappeared with your iTunes change when your iTunes changed. As I've always downloaded direct from the website, and that website would be what, Chris?
Oh, talesfromthelongbox.com/the show. Now,
So I've been listening to every episode. I've got to say the show has always been good, but it's still just getting better.
Wow.
I work every Tuesday when I get it from work. I look forward to downloading the episode and hearing the latest comic talk. He actually wrote talk, but I said talk. Now I've gotten the brunt nosing out of the way, down to comic talk. I went to the Kapow Comic Con in London a couple weeks ago. So this will be back in May.
I'm looking at a different email than you. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. wow, what a good day out that was. Next year we'll definitely be doing the full weekend. You got Batman number one Scott signed by Scott Snyder.
Wow.
And you got a picture with himself and Scott, Mr. Snyder, or we should say, I suppose. As this is the first time he's ever met a creator, he was worried that he might be an arse, or something. Then I would have this tainted view on the book I'm loving. You'll be glad to know he was really cool and appreciative of the praise I had for the books he was putting out. I also sat on the panel with Nick Frost. I don't know if the Simon Pegg / Frost work is popular your side of the pond, but I love it. They're fun guys. He was really funny and had some interesting tales to tell. A question for you guys: have you ever watched the British TV show Spaced? Guys, I haven't.
I've heard of it.
Hurry.
Space. No, I'm not familiar with it.
Okay. Sorry, Robin. We are culturally deprived on that level. It was where I discovered my love affair for everything Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Edgar Wright, and some 13 years later is still my favorite show, after Band of Brothers.
That's a good show.
It was a great show. If you haven't watched it, then check it out. It is amazing. As the last con, I had also hunted out some seriously cheap books. I picked up quite a lot of one-pound books, one-pound, not weight, but price, books in the back issue bin. back issues. But again, from the last con in February, the guys were they're selling 5 books for a pound, so about 15 cents each in American. Holy crap.
Awesome.
About all 8 issues of 1602, along with the run of FF from Civil War, along with the beginning of Hickman's run that he's also really enjoying. Yeah, I'm wondering when you will next be doing DC Roundup episode. He's loving them. The original 52, he bought 50 of them, and then went on to read the first 6 or 8 issues of 28 titles, and now they're 10 mark. And he's down to about 17.
17? Nah, I'm not near that much.
Yeah, I had to count. I don't think I'm at 17 either. Though with the new ones, that doesn't count. He's talking about the original 52.
Right.
Maybe a couple more casualties, but then I can see a solid 15 titles that he just can't quit. He can't quit you, man. I may also jump back on some books as Batwoman is the latest preview shows. The Return of the Original Artist, which it does. So we'll be at least checking out the first issue of this. Are you still loving the DCU, guys?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
It's a rounding yes, Robin.
Yes. Overall, yes.
What are you guys still reading? We'll get to that. Timely question, by the way. If not this week, we'll definitely cover that next week or the week after, or maybe the week after that, sometime in the future. What about the second wave? Now that they are all out, what books are you reading there? He loved Earth 2, and he's interested to see where Dial H is going to go. Have you guys been reading any of the new number ones coming out the past couple months? As I seem to be getting about 15 number ones a month at the moment.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, they're a plethora. Love that word, plethora. There's much new quality outside the main big two. The last couple months, I would love to hear your opinions on some of these. Robin, I think it would help if you shared your opinion of some of them as well, by the way.
Yes.
I'm also really excited to see the trilogy of original graphic novels from Heavy Metal in the couple months under the title Four Horsemen of Apocalypse. You guys know that one?
It's vaguely familiar.
Uh-oh, Robin, you're way ahead of us on that curve.
Yeah.
There's so much good independent stuff right now, I don't know where to even start. Okay. Do you guys buy and sell comics on eBay? I don't.
I might be selling some toys here soon.
No, I have bought them, but I have never sold them.
I have sold them in the past. Some, but not very many.
Selling seemed like a heck of a lot of work.
It is. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's so
crazy.
So this comes back to your earlier comment, Robin, about lazy. We buy into that philosophy as well. We attend that church on a regular basis.
Yes, definitely.
He's been catching up on his issues recently and decided that there's a good chunk he doesn't want to collect and likely read again. So I've been selling to free up further cash to expand his trade collection. Smart. Got any horror stories or good news wins from doing this? I can tell you my horror story in a few minutes here, I suppose. I'm noticing a lot of the independents are more collectible. I'm guessing due to the lower numbers sold in the first place. Amongst dozens of others, I just sold my issue 1 of the new Robert Kirkman book, Thief of Thieves.
Ah.
Wow, for £22. So a little over $30.
Yeah, that one's really hard to get from what I've heard.
I keep coming in late in these Robert Kirkman things, so I'll catch up, I'm sure.
I think you can get them online.
Yeah.
Or you can wait, and you can just watch it on TV, which is what it was probably meant for in the first place.
Yeah, they are looking at it for a series, from what I've heard.
Totally.
And by a good four trade paperbacks for the price of that book. Wow. Of other independent trades. for his shelves. Robin, you're going to have to buy a new bookshelf. I think that's what you should be saving up for now.
Yeah, probably.
By the way, considering I've only been reading comics for 2 years, my collection of trades now sits at over 300 books.
Holy crap, dude. I mean, not that I don't have probably that much or more, but in 2 years, that's pretty good.
I don't think I even have 100. That's sad.
Oh yeah.
I gotta start buying trades again or hard covers. I don't want to think about the amount of issues, though. As I say, they are decreasing due to my eBay adventures. Mm-hmm. finally, I've seen the Avengers twice now.
Yeah, I need to see that again.
What are they calling it over there? It's not the Avengers. It's something else.
It's Marvel's The Avengers.
Marvel's The Avengers, okay.
Because of, you know, the M. Appeal and...
The original Avengers.
Yes.
So Robin, let us know what you think of M. Appeal and Steed.
Mark Waid's writing, I think, at least a mini about those characters. Coming up. I just saw an ad for it.
Yeah, I do. I remember that too.
To be a sequel of one that somebody else wrote. I forget who, but anyway, continue.
Okay. Again, keep up the good work, guys. I really appreciate it. I'll endeavor to email more regularly. Again, from here on, here so I don't send such an essay of an email, I might actually talk about comics I'm reading and discuss. And he hasn't reviewed a single title in this whole email. Oh well, another day. hey, he's in English. He's our number one English listener. Yes, you are. I guess.
Yes,
thank
he
you.
Is. I would cool. think so.
So in the meantime, he was also the one who sent us the moth pictures.
Yes.
in a continuing effort to give Murray emails. I mean, not emails. Jesus, I have nightmares.
Yeah, it worked. It worked just fine.
Dandy. Yes, I was looking at them at work, and a coworker walked by and said, "What the, you know, is that?" And I told them the quick story about how you were attacked.
Yes.
So, twice.
I know. Fortunately, we are doing it during the day. When the moths are no longer out and about.
What is a daylight version of a moth? Maybe there'll be some yellow jackets come bouncing off your...
Oh, man. That's bad news there.
Yellow jackets?
Yeah.
I've got to say, Robin, thank you for emailing us. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, man.
Yeah, it is.
I wish other people would take the time. I know that there are other people listening, so... I wish they would take a couple minutes and just emails. We like emails.
Sure. Comments on the posts or whatever.
Yeah. So, and there's a ton of stuff going on Facebook. We could probably pull stuff from there, but I'm not going to. I'm lazy. Ha. So yeah, I mean, appreciate the comments. That con sounds really cool. I hope I'm glad Scott Snyder lived up to your expectations and did not sour you on. I just finished Streets of Gotham, or not Gates of Gotham. Gates of Gotham.
That was a good mini.
Oh my god, it was great.
It set up a lot of stuff that's going on now.
It did. So Robin, if you have not read Gates of Gotham and you like Scott Snyder and you're enjoying Batman. And perhaps Nightwing right now. Mm-hmm. Gates of Gotham is the is basically it's a pre New 52 setup for this current for the Night of Owls stuff as well as what's going on in Nightwing.
Yep.
So check her out. It was great.
Yeah, they kept a lot of that in.
Yeah, it was Boss Scott Snyder and Kyle Higgins who's doing Nightwing now.
Yep. Yep.
Not the same artists, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I really like the historical perspective on Gotham.
Yeah, that was good. I have to admit.
I will have to pick it up sometime. I have not seen it. Well, I think I've seen it. I just didn't pick it up.
You'll like it. It's again. It is set in. It's kind of it's a two part. It's split into two parts. It's set in the current, or not the current, but just pre-New 52 Gotham when Dick Grayson was Batman and what's her name, who was Batgirl for a little while, is a character called Black Bat.
Yeah, Cassie.
No,
not Cassie.
Cassandra.
Cassandra, that's right.
Yeah, Cassie's the one with the blonde hair and kind of bimbo-ish over in Teen Titans. and then the other half of the story is set in as Gotham is getting built, and it's about the two brothers who were the architects of Gotham, and introduces the main families from Gotham, which turn out to be the Cobblepots, the Waynes. Who were the other ones? His buddy, the one who became
Hush. What is that guy's name? I can't remember. They even mentioned Powers, too, I think.
Yeah.
But that's in the Court of Owls stuff, though.
So, Marie, I think you would in fact, very much enjoy it. Again, it's Scott Snyder and Kyle Higgins are writing it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
I enjoyed it.
So, Robin and Murray, get on the stick, man.
All right.
Get yourself to the local e-reader distributor.
Connect to the intranets.
That's right. I'm loving my e-reader, by the way. I'm absolutely loving this thing.
Yeah, that Kindle Fire is pretty good.
I got myself on my Pan Digital. I can change my background on there. Mm-hmm. So my latest thing is every week I'm picking my favorite cover and it's my background. So
that's cool.
So this week it was Wolverine and the X-Men number 10 with Kid Gladiator kicking the Avengers' asses. And he's saying, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, bah! And he's kicking their asses.
Good.
Oh, that's funny.
It is funny. It was Ferris a couple weeks ago, which was really cool. I'm babbling. Stop me, quick.
Oh, okay.
Before I say something completely embarrassing.
All right, what? Pardon me. What are we reading right now, gentlemen? Well, you want to? Okay, let's. How about we talk about things that we were reading, like he was talking about what of the new 52 that we, you know. Are reading. We can always we can talk about things we were reading but aren't reading anymore. If you want to start with that,
I'll tell you. Aquaman's on the bubble for me after that last issue.
And I haven't read that yet.
Yeah, I
make it about 30 seconds and you'll be done.
Yeah,
I really liked the opening chapter of that Aquaman story. Like it had such a cool vibe. Like it was almost warlordy in its. In its storytelling, but the last couple of issues have been slow. I don't know. I think that's just the way Johns writes. Like he likes
the long game,
the drawn out game. I don't know. Like some of these stories, I just feel like they could have been told quicker, and they might be better stories if they were condensed.
I get the feeling that he's trying to get to issue 12 because of, you know, whatever they're going to do with zero issues. And so like, yeah, he probably in a different setting, he probably would have condensed this down to fewer issues. I was like, oh, I got to get here's my stopping point is right. Not stopping point, but I have a goal issue in mind.
Yeah. So we haven't really.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Did we even talk about the zero issues yet?
No, they're not out yet.
No. Well, I know, but I mean, news-wise is what I'm talking about.
We did. We covered it a couple weeks ago, or at least in passing.
So. Yeah, because the previews is out with all that info in it now. So I bought it the other last week, I think. Last week. A lot of interesting stuff out there. But it'd be interesting to see what's still out there. Let's see. I'll tell you what I've dropped. You might be surprised. I stopped reading. I dropped Detective because of the price. The stories weren't good enough for that, which now you hear news that Tony Daniels leaving Detective for something else he's been wanting to do, which, you know – we've talked about this before about how, you know, a lot of people don't like his writing, and I have to say, and I read somebody else make a comment about that. Somebody said his writing is good and his art is good, but when he tries to do both, both suffer. And that's kind of what that the detective hasn't made sense for. That first issue was really cool, but it really hasn't made much sense, and it just keeps getting worse. And then they upped the price and put that backup story in there that made absolutely no sense whatsoever.
And what was the backup story?
It was Two-Face. It was completely nonsensical. And, you know, I've made a lot of comments about the $3.99 price point before, and you know, it's not anywhere near the quality in my eyes as All-Star Western. So that one I'm keeping, but that one, they raised the price to $3.99 on it, so it's gone. And let's see. Batgirl stopped.
It's funny that the one comic, I mean, the bat comic that you're most likely, that you're dropping is the Grandfather comic. It's not it's not the Dark Knight comic.
It's only because of the writing, you know. I didn't start reading Detective again back when, until, you know, Batman got his back broke, and when he came back, and I read it sporadically after that, and then at one point I started full time, but it's just, I don't know, if it was still $2.99, I probably would just keep getting it, just because. But at $3.99, it's just not worth the money. I can spend that on something else that's maybe $3.99. Like some of these new titles that Boom's putting out, which we'll talk about later. They got some really good science, you know, fiction ones coming out recently. But, yeah, Batgirl, that's just become an okay, quote-unquote, book that just really doesn't interest me anymore.
I haven't read that in months. I
just stopped, you know.
To me, that is like a classic Simone title. Like, it's got her voice all over it. And I don't know. I enjoy it every week I read it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I might go back to it later, but this last one I read, I think it was maybe 9 or 10. It just didn't do anything for me. So.
Yeah, no. You don't have to like it, but for me, it's
no, I know. I'm just explaining.
What's wrong with you, man? Come on.
I know. But what else? I dropped the
Aquaman.
Yeah, well, like I said, I haven't read it yet, so. And I have a lot, I think I have a lot more tolerance for Johns's writing than some people right now. I'm not a fanboy like I was, but after all the stuff he did with his GL, you know, Green Lantern stuff, I give him a little bit more slack. And I really like in Justice League, too, so. But I finally dropped Green Lantern New Guardians. That's just not – it's boring. As much as I like Kyle, it's just boring. I'm trying to think. That's all I can think of off the top of my head.
I get the impression of New Guardians, which I haven't really read much, that they're trying to snag the audience from the cartoon where it's got all the different lanterns in there as well.
Yeah, I don't know. There's another one, Blue Beetle, which surprises me because Tony Bedard, I've really liked his work, but I think he's being, and we know this from that article that George Perez put out, how heavily editorial is on these books. So, I don't know. But yeah, Blue Beetle and New Guardians, I stopped reading both of those. Oh, and just this week, My Vampire. So, anyway.
High Vampire's off your read list?
Yeah, it's – they changed the way things were, and it just it just doesn't interest me anymore.
I haven't read number 10 yet. It's sitting in my to-read pile, so...
I didn't buy it. I mean, I might change my mind later and read it online, but... Which, that's another story. Thinking about going digital, but we can talk about that in a bit.
What about the new all-digital one, the Legends of the Dark Knight?
You know, that I didn't read the first four deals last night. I really enjoyed them.
The first four?
Yeah.
Of Legends of the Dark Knight? I thought there was only one out so far.
No, they've been putting them out every week.
Oh, crap. I'm behind. I haven't even looked. Okay.
Yeah. Where'd it go?
The short stories, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first one
and done.
Yeah, the first one was who was the creative team on it? It was Lost, wasn't it? Yes.
Lost. And Star Trek. It's really
Star Trek.
Yeah, he was involved with the Star Trek movies, the newer ones.
Oh yeah, because of J.J. Abrams. Yeah, right.
And Jeff Lemire, and I actually liked his art better than I usually do. It wasn't as it was a lot more refined, I think.
He's using that same style that he uses on Sweet Tooth, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, I actually liked it. Yeah, there's four of them. I read them all last night.
Time for me to get off the.
Yeah,
I like the first one a lot. So
issue number four starts a three-part story by Ben Temple Smith and B. Clay Moore.
Ben Temple Smith. Cool. 30 Days of Night with Ben Temple Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one in number three, that was kind of weird. Who wrote that?
Time for me to go look those up, because I like D. Clay Moore. He's a good guy, by the way. Talking about guys who are fun to talk to at a convention when B. Clay Moore is a good convention talker.
That's good. I like his books. I like his Hawaiian Dick series. I wish that would come back.
I've heard of that, but I never read it.
It's a good read. It's really, really good. It's
got out sometime.
Yeah, it's nice. It's like a 1950s detective story with some supernatural stuff in it. It's really well done.
Cool.
I had the opportunity to interview him. Like, oh my god, it must be 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, and that's what for a website that I was part of. And that's what we talked about primarily was a Hawaiian Dick.
Oh, I love that series.
He's a fanboy too. I mean, that's the nice thing about him.
That's cool.
So, all right. Now
he's also writing the those little ads in the DC books right now. you know which ones I mean.
Yes.
I don't even know what they're for. American Ninja Warrior or something.
Oh, that. Oh. Yeah, NBC picked that up. But yeah, that was been on G4. Good lord.
I don't know what it is, but
it's just like an obstacle course kind of thing.
It's like reality TV.
Yes, definitely. Television.
Now, okay, so is it more like Wipeout or is it more like Survivor?
Tween, actually.
It's more like Wipeout, except these guys are athletic and unlike 90% of the people going on Wipeout.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they do. I was watching a little bit of one the other night.
That's based on a Japanese show, too, but anyway.
But they hang from this bar, and they have to hop the bar up to the next level. They actually have to hang on to the bar and use all, you know, like defy gravity and go up with the bar and then go up again and go, oh my god. I'm getting exhausted just talking about it. And when I watch, I get like cramps in my arms just watching them do these things.
Yeah, I think there's only a handful of people that ever completed the course successfully.
It's psychotic. And yeah, I mean, I'm like a finger full of the athleticism of the, those guys in that show.
Bring up.
Alrighty.
So that's what B. Claymore's up to.
Yeah.
I'm sure, among other things.
Well, of course, of course. You know, you got to pay the bills sometimes.
Including Legends of the Dark Knight.
Yes. Yes.
What about Night Force? I'm really enjoying that.
That I never did even really get into that. I never was interested in it before, and then when this new series came out, I didn't even give it a shot. So
I got the first two or three issues, but I think it's I'll have to check. It's one of those series that I think my shop only orders for subscribers, or only orders like one extra maybe. And I might have missed the week that it came out. What issue is it up to now? Like 5?
It is up to 4, actually.
Oh.
Okay. Because I know I missed an issue, and then I forgot about it. And so I'll have to check the shelves and see if it's still kicking out there, because I didn't mind it. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, well, I'm a big Tom Mandrake fan, so I couldn't avoid.
Oh, Tom Mandrake, that's good stuff.
And Marv Wolfman, I mean, he the stuff he's done lately has been okay, but this is one of the ones where he's hitting on all cylinders on this one. I'm really liking the story. It's creepy. It's reintroducing Baron Winter back and it's kind of touching on the DC universe. They kind of slips in comments that it is clearly set in the DC universe, but only barely.
Mm-hmm.
So they could easily put it in, you know, tie it into Justice League Dark at some point.
Yeah.
Or even I, Vampire. You remember that book you used to read? So.
Well, you know. That's just temporary. I've had to cut down because they stopped kind of giving me a discount like they were. So I bought like $47 worth the other day, and I'm like, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Just a lot. That was a big week.
Yes.
So it's like stuff that's just okay starting to go by the wayside. But I still read a lot, though. I was just put right in the list when we were reading Robin's email, and I've probably got over 20 titles here, at least.
I hate to direct the conversation because I know this was but Legion Lost.
Yeah. They've really been bashing the crap out of it on the Legion podcast. I don't have as much problem with it as they do, but yeah, that whole thing, like they were talking about, I agree. You know, the whole, they went back there to stop this thing, and now all of a sudden, you got two people with secret missions, and then you got some prophecy that Tyrox got. It's, and of course you got a new writer taking over, so, you know, it's not the book that it started out. And it's kind of like it doesn't have a direction almost. So I don't know how much longer I'll keep that. I don't know.
Oh, I'll keep it. I mean, it's Legion, so I will.
Yeah, and it is under the $3.99. So yeah, I probably will too. Yeah. But it's I'm not complaining about it yet, but it's getting there.
I felt like the trip to the future was a big fake out.
Yeah.
Like the way they. Because they released the preview pages getting you to think that, ooh, this is a change in direction. We're heading to the future. Is it the real future? And in the end, it didn't seem to matter. Unless they're tying that into a bigger story later on down the road, it just seemed to me like a huge fake out that didn't go anywhere.
Did they ever say how far in the future they were? Or were they even able to tell?
No, they guessed they were maybe 2 or 3 years beyond where they left, but again, we don't know. Like they're guessing. They're none of them are the Legion brainiacs. They're the regular Joe Legionnaires where thinking is not their
yeah
what they're known for.
That's one way to put it.
You know,
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so if we're going by what they're saying, and they're saying they think they're 2 or 3 years in the future, then really we've got no clue, because they've got no clue.
Mm-hmm. Yep. DeFalco didn't even try that hard to make it out that this was going to be the direction of the book, because right, you know, smack dab in the middle of the book, he's setting up storylines in the present with
exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, so already he's undercutting any sort of tension or that you might have, like, about the future, because he's still telling stories in the 20th century. So clearly he's going back. Sorry, the 21st century.
Yeah, it's like, are they going to get back? Aren't they going to get back? Well, let me see. There's a storyline going on in the present. Yeah.
I have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, like, I thought it was a poor storytelling choice, and I some of the dialogue is terrible.
Yeah. See, they were saying that on there, and it's like, I didn't think it was that bad, but then again, I'm sitting here, I don't even really remember the last issue I read, which is one of the reasons why I dropped Batgirl, because I got that last issue that I read, and it's like, I couldn't remember what was going on in it. So I went and found the other issues and read it, and it's like, it just didn't make any impact on me at all, you know? So, but yeah, the Legion's kind of getting to that point too.
See, the thing really that lost though is that,
I mean, Legion lost us.
Yeah. I think even though I didn't love some of the choices he made for characters, DeFalco is trying to give them individual voices and individual personalities. So even though Yira's new personality has come from nowhere and Gates doesn't quite sound like the way I remember him, he sounds different enough from the other characters that I'm willing to give it a little bit of time to see what he's going to do with this characterization that he's set up.
Right.
If Yira is going to be the queen bitch, then fine. Let's see that play out and see what that does to the rest of the team. And so, you know, I'll give it lots of time, but I'm kind of curious to see where it's going. Like, even if it came from nowhere, I'm going to let it ride and see if it works in this story.
Yeah.
He's got a gazillion hanging plot lines right now. So.
Oh, good Lord,
that's the one thing that's driving me bananas. Between that and Teen Titans, the plot lines that they mention every month but do nothing with. Like, Levitt, he introduces a plot line. It may take forever to get resolved, but he advances it every time you see it. So there's movement. This has been 10 months of, I have a secret. Ooh, I have a secret too. Oh, I have a prophecy, which is kind of like a secret because I'm not telling you about it. And it's been like, we get it. You all have a secret. Let's get some movement going. Like, give me something. Give me a crumb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Gates, I mean, the one that's actually bugging me the most is Gates disappeared and then came back, and we still haven't found out what happened to him.
Yeah. Like, we don't know why he looks like a bird.
Yes.
Instead of a bug.
Mm-hmm. And he has half a face.
And that doesn't seem to bother him. Like,
yeah.
La la la.
I'm sure he'll blame it on some fascist regime.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he used to be a bug that, and now he's a bird that probably eats bugs. And that's got to mess with your head.
Yeah, I would think so.
But it doesn't appear to have. Maybe he just hasn't seen a mirror yet.
Well, Telus has got hands, so why not a bird bug?
So, okay, so along that line, what about the Ravagers? What are you guys thinking of that one?
I found the first issue boring. All French read the second issue. He thought it was okay.
Yeah, I've read the second one. It was okay.
Okay actually just covers it. It was not great. It was not bad. It was
and along that line, I mean, I don't know how much longer I'll keep buying it. It's just okay, so.
it's a pointless book as far as I'm concerned, though. It doesn't have it doesn't seem to fill a niche that needed to be filled. They had Titans, they had Legion Lost, they have Superboy, they have Blue Beetle, they have enough team books. They didn't need another team book.
Yeah, I agree.
And if they were gonna do it, they should have just called it. They should have called it Gen 13, and they would have. I say that with all seriousness. I mean,
I understand that. That's one of the things that's bugging me the most right now is about the new 52 is them shoving those Wildstorm characters in our face like they've had. You know, that's what I'm seeing. Huh?
It's okay. Voodoo's going bye-bye, so.
Well, I know, but, I mean, that's part of my problem with some of that, because, like, the Grifter series, the Voodoo series, and then, you know, and then they've got some of these others, like this Fairchild, and I never thought, I don't know, it just seems like Jim Lee's characters he owns rights to, which, you know, DC owns them now, but I know he's up there, but it's, I don't know. They weren't that. I didn't think they were that big before, so I'm not sure why shoving them into the 52 now is, you know, really worth it. But you know, maybe I'm alone in that. So
I don't know. I think Gen 13 had a lot of popularity. I mean, I never read it, but I think it was a big book. So I'm surprised they didn't go with Gen 13 instead of Ravagers. Like to me, that Ravagers as a name has no history, has no connection to readers, and whereas Gen 13 would have had something. And
yeah,
I mean, I guess the book isn't Gen 13-y enough for anyone who was reading Gen 13, but
yeah,
that would have been easy to fix, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they could have. Yeah, I mean, if they just had two characters from the original series, you know, Fairchild and Grunge or something like that, and then bam. They could have, you know, throw Beast Boy in, throw Terra in, throw Ridge in, or whatever the hell that character's name is, and I think everything would have been hunky dory. But it feels like a forced title where they're going to, I don't know. It was okay, like you said.
Well, yeah, and you got the Beast Boy and Terra, and you know, and then the Thunder and Lightning, which I like the original concept between Thunder and Lightning. This other one, and it just seems, I don't know. It's like 90s comics, a lot of it. And not the good ones.
90s comics sold.
Yeah, they're good.
But it's not the 90s anymore.
Yeah. So going through the stack here, Green Lantern's really good. Finding out why the Indigo Tribe was created. That's what's going on there. Stormwatch. I have no idea what's going on in this book half the time, but it's just – I just like it. It's just out there.
It's wonky.
One that I look forward to every month is Batman and Robin. And I know Caleb curses me to this day that I got him started reading that. But the War of the Robins is such a beautiful concept. Which it's funny because I remember back when the Red Hood was still bad, which I don't know if you call him bad now since he kills, but he dressed up in a Robin outfit and went and beat the crap out of Tim Drake at Titan's Tower one time. I mean, it's kind of like that. So it's kind of interesting.
Kind of like a guy dressing up in tights and beating up another guy in tights. Okay.
Yeah. Wonder Woman, I'm really enjoying.
Kind of gay, actually.
It is kind of, but, well. Jason Todd's a little whacked in the head anyway. Wonder Woman's really good. I'm still reading that. What about you guys? You like that one? Still?
I love that last issue. Number 10 was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
It was really – wasn't the ending –
Yeah, it was a weird ending, but...
No, but it was cool. It was so cool. Like, she's talking about how... Mm-hmm. What's his name? Ares? No. Yeah, Hades. Needed to love himself, and he'd never be able to love anyone unless he was able to love himself. Mm-hmm. And then Hephaestus gives him that mirror, and she shoots him while he's looking in the mirror, mm-hmm. and she shoots him with that love bullet. And it took me a minute or two to figure it out, and then I'm like, that's such a cool twist.
Yeah, he's really doing a great job on that book. I'm really surprised. I mean, that's one I look forward to reading every month. And I've never said that about Wonder Woman. I've bought 10 issues in a row, and I've never said that about Wonder Woman either. So,
yeah, I'm going to actually – I may actually – this is going to sound weird. I may actually stop buying Wonder Woman, and I may just start trading it. Just because it reads – it's a big story. I mean, this has been 10 issues, and it's – so far it's the same story. Tons of forward momentum, but that's the only thing that keeps me coming back month to month. It's just how much he moves the story forward every single freaking issue.
Yeah, as you often say, something happens in this book.
Yes,
yeah, totally. It's a book where they took the chance to do something new with the New 52, and they ran with it because it's new, but it's not new. Like, I don't know, I see lots of similarities to the Perez version of Wonder Woman in Azzarello's Wonder Woman. Not in tone so much, but in focus. Like, he's brought the mythology back, and he's really exploring how Wonder Woman and the mythology works, which is what Perez did a lot in the first year or two of that book too. So there's similarities, but the tone is totally different, because Perez's book was clearly set in the 1980s and the, mm-hmm. you know, like it was a book of its time, and this is very much a book of its time too. But it's very, and it's, he's telling stories the way, like, he's really using the single issue well. Like, when you look at, when you compare how Azzarello is telling the story to how Johns is telling a story over in Aquaman or Justice League, like it's like night and day.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know,
one is clearly writing for a 6-issue or a 5-issue trade.
Okay.
You know, you're getting, at the end of those 5 issues, you'll get a story, but it's going to be at the end of those 5 issues. Whereas Azzarello was telling a story every single issue while still telling a big story. So there's a big main story going on, but every issue is still a satisfying read.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I've bitched about, you know, that we need the previously boxes, and this book would definitely benefit from a previously box, but mm-hmm. I could see picking up number 10, which has a lot of history already behind it, and still understanding what the heck's going on.
Oh, totally.
I mean, just the whole idea, her having to tell the truth because she has her own lasso around her, and being hung by her lasso. Oh man, that was.
That is some good stuff. It really is.
It was. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and she won by just loving everybody as opposed to an individual, and that was.
Yeah,
awesome.
that was a great touch. It really was. So let's see what else.
Oh, it's that.
It's been neat seeing how writers are approaching the New 52, like whether they have kind of said to themselves, okay, this is a new universe and it's a new way to tell stories, or whether they're just saying, it's a new universe and I've got new characters, but my writing isn't really going to change.
Yeah. You know,
Johns is still the same person that he was, and it's working for him. He's telling the stories the way that he used to tell them. Azzarello seems to be telling stories in a way that fits what the New 52 is doing, given that there's a shorter page count and that you want to make every issue count. Even on Flash, they're kind of doing that. Like, they did, like, that first opening arc, I think, was 5 issues, and then I read some interviews where Manipul and Buccioletto were thinking that they need to kind of, like, they've changed the way they're writing. So each issue is now, like, they aren't doing the extended story arc as much. They're doing individual stories that are kind of building towards something, which is kind of cool. Like, they've kind of recognized what's going on in their they're changing their style to fit the format, kind of, which is cool. It's neat to see that they're thinking about how they're telling stories.
Mm-hmm. I'm in agreement. It is definitely, it's everyone's getting an opportunity to reinvent themselves, and some people are really taking advantage of it. Some people are, well, not so much. So,
Let's go through
speaking of reinvented, I'm going to go off and I'm going to switch companies real quickly. Did you pick up Astonishing X-Men 51?
No, I didn't.
The wedding issue. You are not a romantic.
I'm not 100% concerned. Convinced is the word I meant to say, that they just didn't do that for publicity. But you know, I never really liked that character anyway. So,
Kyle, yeah, he's a bit of a lame duck.
So,
or were you talking about North Star?
I am talking about North Star. Because I remember reading in it an Alpha Flight, you know, where he was, you know. Before he came out, he was like manipulating her and his sister, and you know, she's like half nuts and
half nuts.
Yeah, well, okay, completely nuts.
She's living in Nutsville.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just, that character just never did really resonate with me. So
I had the opportunity, and I feel this way also about Lightning Lass and Shrinking Violet, by the way, in that. The panel that everyone pulls out that says, oh, he's gay, which is he was climbing out of a swimming pool and there's another guy helping him out of the pool. Mm-hmm. I don't think that John Byrne actually intended for him to be gay. I think it was a bunch of guys swimming in a pool. And I think and I feel the same way about the panel where that people say, oh, that's where Vi and Ayla are gay, is, you know, where they were in the spaceship and she just happens to be leaning over looking at the panel over her shoulder. It's like, oh, they're gay. No, I think somebody somewhere ran with it, and Levitt and also Byrne said, oh, okay, great, I can do that. And
I don't know. I think Byrne – I'd have to – I think Byrne did intend for Nightwing for – I don't know what Byrne intended for Nightwing. I think Byrne intended for North Star to be gay all along. I don't know. Like, I totally didn't clue into it the first time I read it, but – when I go back and reread, like, it seems like right from the very beginning of the Alpha Flight run, mm-hmm. that is the way the character is going. Like, it's all hidden and it's subtle and it's, cause I mean, it's the 80s and you don't do gay in the 80s, I think it was there. I think I'm going to have to dig through those issues. I will find proof. I will find proof that does not involve a swimsuit or a pool.
Yeah.
Well,
the
panel that people always refer to as the start of that character trait was, I think it was Alpha Flight number one. So.
Huh.
Alpha Flight volume one, number one, I think.
To the back issues.
Pow! Slam!
All right.
So the issue itself, though, was okay. It wasn't great. It, you know, there was no supervillain attack on the wedding, which was, you know, they skipped that cliche. At least they skipped it till the end. Again, spoiler. Yeah. They skipped it to the end of the issue, and good for that. But I don't know. It felt squeezed in. It felt like, oh, okay, we gotta do this now because we've done all the publicity, but we already have this ongoing storyline. And so between panels of that storyline where they're the X-Men are being attacked by Karma, it squeezed in this wedding.
Karma? When did she turn bad?
Ha ha. It's a plot line in Astonishing X-Men and now New Mutants as well, that Karma has flipped. We don't know why.
Okay.
But it could have something to do with the fact that she's a lesbian. I don't know. I'm kidding.
Well, she's been taken been under control before, so.
Yep. In the very, very classic giant-sized Karma storyline.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That was part of that was in when they were in Asgard.
Yep.
That was a great story.
She got possessed by the Black King, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, one of them guys with a fez.
Yes, he had a fez.
I remember that.
He did have a fez.
That was the thing I remembered the most about the guy. He's got to be evil. He's wearing a fez.
He's wearing a fez and he has little itty-bitty sunglasses.
Yep. So that guy's got to be bad.
Who is the guy from the old movies who always wore the fez and had this?
Green Street? Sydney Green Street.
Yes.
Yes. Now anybody under 30 has just turned our podcast off.
I think you could probably go anybody under 40 would probably.
You're probably true.
So it was an okay issue. I'm not as it was just okay. And on that note, how about Earth 2 number 2, speaking of gay characters? Anybody?
Yeah, I thought that was – I mean, I just wish they had made such a big deal about it, but I thought it was a good issue anyway.
Yeah,
I liked it. I'm holding out hope that there's going to be a happy ending after.
Well, I mean, it's basically – doing what the original origin is. He was on a train, you know, and that he's going to find that.
And there was a train accident and
yeah, exactly.
His lantern. But in the original story, did he have a friend on the train and did the friend?
No, I believe he was.
Was he copying a feel of another male guy? I don't know. I'm
pretty sure he was by himself.
All right. So there's hope.
I mean, that's what's going to be his. It's going to be some kind of sabotage, which that's what it was in the original. Spoilers, people. And, you know, he'll use the ring to solve it because, you know, his lover was killed. That's what I'm looking at. I mean,
that seems to be the direction he's going. I'm just hoping that. Like, in the explosion on the final page, you see just a hint of green in one of the windows. So I'm thinking he's already – and we don't even know if he's going to have a ring, right? Like, it could be
– That's a good point.
I get the impression that maybe he won't have a ring, that he's just going to have the green energy from
– Oh, God, the Starheart. God help us.
Well, it seems like I saw a preview image of him looking at the battery.
Yeah.
But – Yeah, I didn't notice that too. I just noticed that right before you said it. And I looked again. There is a green one window.
I'm hoping that little green glow is protecting at least two people on that train.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else can go to hell.
We don't care about that.
It is they're comic book red shirts. I mean, you know. Is anybody I like the concept of random packs of apocalyptic rats running around too that just attack people at random. That was an interesting concept.
I think he's gonna have fun playing with Earth 2 and
I hope they just let him do whatever too, like he does on the Shade.
Yeah, I think
I didn't like what he did with the original Mr. Terrific though.
Oh yeah?
I'm a big fan. I actually like
Yes, I'd forgotten about that.
Mm-hmm. It looks like the original Terry Sloan is going to be walking the path of evil.
Yes, it does. And that's what I actually thought about Alan Scott's little buddy. He seems like he's going to be a bad guy too, but that's just me.
Oh, you mean his lover?
Yes.
Oh, that's not good.
At least then he'd be alive.
That's right. Oh, you're right. There is green in that window there. Look at that.
Yeah, I know. That's very subtle.
Look at that.
See, there's hope. There's hope.
There's hope. No, that's the other. That's the Marvel universe. That's Marvel. That's Avengers versus X-Men.
Right.
But anyway, let's see.
Oh gosh! Look at good catch, man.
Yeah, I was looking through that and it. Just as he said it, I closed it, and I'm like, wait a minute, there was green there.
Mm-hmm.
World's finest, great stuff. Anything with Perez and Levitz, love it. Speaking of other companies, has any of you read any of the Valiant stuff?
I have not.
Well, I got. Go ahead.
I should, but I actually know one of the guys who's writing one of the books, and I need to pull my head out and go buy it.
I never read any of the other stuff, so I don't have any expectations to be ruined. So, but got the Harbinger number one. It was okay. Read Exo Man of War. It was all right. Let's see. But stuff. Okay, here's a couple things. What about Boom? The Hypernaturals. Anybody check that out? I read the Zero issue and was intrigued enough. I bought the first issue of it, even though it was actually $3.99. Anybody?
No.
I think somebody on the Legion Facebook page mentioned it was kind of Legion-y. Not
Hypernauticals. That was the Abnett and Lanning one, right?
Hypernaturals.
Yeah. Natural?
No. Yeah. Hypernaturals, yeah. I have this.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an interesting high concept thing. The superhero team, you know, they take tours, kind of like military tours, and then they retire, but yeah, it's an interesting concept. But one that that's from Boom, and another one from Boom, its first issue was only a dollar, is called Extermination. You guys heard about that one?
I haven't.
It's by Simon Spurrier and Jeffrey Edwards. The first issue was only a dollar, and it's 99 cents on Comicology. But the concept is aliens came to invade Earth, and they were succeeded, and there's only two people left alive on the planet. Two superheroes, a good guy and a bad guy, and they're mortal enemies, and they have to work together to, you know, whatever. So it was pretty interesting.
What's it called?
Extermination.
Extermination, okay.
Yeah, it is on Comicology for 99 cents, first issue. And the next one, which is a little farther along, where'd it go?
You seem awfully familiar with what's on Comixology lately, Mr. Pugley.
Yeah, it was my debit card finally. A new debit card finally came in, so I've bought a bunch of stuff that. Well, I read the Higher Earth thing, I think, in a free comic book day thing first, or maybe I bought the issue. I don't remember. Then there's Higher Earth. I think that's full price, but its concept is. You got this guy jumping through parallel Earths, and I'm not doing justice to describing it, but I just really like the concept so far. That's another good one from Boom, you know, good science fiction concept. I'm into the third issue of the new Shadow series at Dynamite. Tried the first issue of The Spider and was underwhelmed.
Speaking of Spider.
Yes.
Amazing Spider-Man. Holy moly, good stuff.
Yeah, I've been seeing the previews for those. I went through while I was convalescing from my surgery, I must have read four or five of those trades I had built up. Really loving the story, so I'll definitely keep going with that.
Oh my God! It is consistently one of the best monthly, not even monthly, almost weekly books to come out for either company. Period.
Daredevil has been kind of fallen for me though.
Oh, treading water a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and part of that's because of the art keeps changing. But yeah, it is kind of treading water, which makes me wonder if he's spending too much time on other projects. Because if you go to that thrillbent.com website he started, he's got that he's got a weekly comic on there. It's actually pretty good. It's not as adult as Irredeemable is, but it's along that same kind of vein, taking a superhero concept and kind of turning it on its ear. So, but that's I found that they I didn't realize he was kept was still working on that. But him and Peter Krause from Irredeemable, they've been doing that weekly, and you just go to the website and just look at it for free.
Well, he's and the rumor on Dick Johnson's site is that he's going to be doing one of the Avengers books. So
yeah, and there's also a lot of rumors about them doing a relaunch. A lot of stuff swirling around that.
So, shocking, I tell you.
Yeah.
No, in a week or two, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have to.
When is San Diego? San Diego's a little under this 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 2 weeks.
They've already announced one new number one, which apparently there's a lot of them being rumored, but that's Punisher Warzone. I'm not sure if they're going to cancel the Punisher and start that over, because the Punisher, Ruck is just dialing it in. It's just. I don't know if I'll keep reading it or not. It's just kind of there. But anyway. So, what about you guys? I know Murray had some things he was reading he would like to talk about.
Yes, what have I read? I read, I think, what was the last issue of Next Men. Next Man, that was a series. When it was coming out, loved it. Like, I came into it a little late, but I picked up all the back issues, and I followed it up until the end, and it was like one of those series where Byrne kept promising he was going to come back to it when the time was right, when the market was ready, and I was like waiting and waiting, and when it came back, I didn't mind it. Like, I liked... He brought it back in two sort of miniseries. So he did, I forget what the first one was called. Maybe it was just called John Byrne's Next Men from IDW. But it was okay. It was one of those time travel confusing stories. But I think it was okay. And then he did this Aftermath.
Yeah.
And it was not okay. Like, it was... I wanted to like it so badly, but every issue was... more time travel and more confusion and more piled on top of more. And it was, I think it's done now. Like, I think it's finished, and it was just not satisfying at all. Ugh.
You know, I'm a big fan of Next Men. I mean, I chose that one of the first trade paperback collection from IDW is one of my favorite collections. So I will be interested to see on your opinion of how this overall.
Yeah, I might have to sit down and reread it, but I don't think it's gonna like for a conclusion. I don't know. Like, you want the conclusion to kind of wrap up all the characters and give them a something, whether it's a happy ending or a sad ending or a something, and it just doesn't. Characters that were gone are back for a panel or two, but it's not a big deal, and other characters just kind of they go on, and their lives are apparently just going to go on, but you're never sure if the characters whose life is going on is the character that you read about in the original Next Men or one of the future doppelgangers or one of the timelines that's merged. It's so confusing. It was not a happy ending for me.
you're making my eyes cross.
Yeah, it's well, and the way it all, I think, finally gets wrapped up and is, I think it's something Byrne's done before. Like, it just it he pulls in a character that we've seen before who's done kind of mind twisty things before and uses that character to kind of wrap things up, and it was kind of disappointing. I can't help but think that this is not how he originally intended the series to go. Like, it just, I don't know.
Maybe the numbers were so piss poor in the sales that he just had to go, okay, I've got to stop it now. I mean, I don't know what the sales have been, so.
I don't know. Like, I've read an interview where he said he changed the story a little bit because in the years that have passed, there have been other series that have come out, and like Lost was a series that kind of did some of the story that he was planning to do in Next Men, so he didn't want to appear to be ripping from Lost, even though, well, not that they were ripping from him, but he didn't want to tell the story that they had kind of already told, and I can sort of see that. Like, I can kind of see where there are some things that would be similar to Lost if, like, before he started changing them, but it didn't really work for me. Maybe it will when I reread it. Maybe.
Interesting.
Maybe. Trio, on the other hand, I like, and that's his other series from IDW.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
I do. I don't. I think the rock, paper, scissors angle is cheesy. However, having said that, I can look past the goofy name and the I can get past that because I think the story is going to be the type of story that I'm going to want to read. Like, they're advertising it as, if you liked John Byrne on Fantastic Four, if you liked him on Alpha Flight, you're going to like him on this. And I do. Like, it's very much a book out of the style that he was using then and right. Like, I mean, it's, I don't know how new readers, modern readers are going to feel about it because it's very much a throwback to how comics used to be, but I like it.
They made a joke out of that in the in-house advertising about
it. Yeah, totally.
And it's like, you know, I think I'm joking.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Motorcycle gang, okay.
All right, then.
It's Sons of Anarchy.
they filming it there?
Yeah. Totally, right in the backyard.
Okay, all right, continue.
But the idea about how it, you know, it is, if you like the Fantastic Four and they start joking about it, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Is it Fantastic Four-y? Are we seeing a Sue Storm? Are we seeing a Sue Richards, whatever type character, etc.?
There's certainly someone who could be considered the Thing, and there's certainly there's certainly sort of a stretchy character, although in this case it's the female, you could look to see or play the game of, you know, spot the Fantastic Four in this book, because there's certainly like a Submariner type character, and there's a Thing type character, and there's sort of a Mr. Fantastic and kind of a Johnny Storm type. Like, I mean, it's all kind of there. It's what Byrne's going to do with it. And he's, you know, we're only two issues in, but there's certainly going to be, he's setting stuff up and he's having fun with it. And it's cool. And I think he might eventually get around to pulling in some of his Danger Unlimited characters from years ago when he was doing that series too. So it'll be neat. Like, I think he's building a fun little world for him to play in and just tell the kind of stories that he wants to tell. And if IDW is happy to let him do that, I am happy to read it.
Yeah, they don't have to have huge sales at that company. I mean, they're definitely, in terms of sales wise, they're probably a third tier company, which is fine. They are probably the strongest third tier company out there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, bottom of the second tier or something like that. But so their numbers don't have to be 20,000 copies a month. They can probably settle for 5,000 a month or 4,000 or whatever and go, okay, you know what? We're just making a profit and that's fine because we'll make it up in trade sales or selling it to another medium or something like that.
Yeah. The books, I think, are $3.99, but I don't mind paying $3.99 for an independent publisher or one of the smaller companies. Like,
because I've been doing that too with some of the books I mentioned, like this Lone Ranger and the others. Those are all $3.99. So yeah, I know what you're saying.
And I think for the $3.99, like, you're getting, I don't know, I haven't counted the story pages, but you're getting, I think you're getting more than 20, and it doesn't look like you're getting a lot of ads, and the ads that you are getting are shoved into the back.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so it's I don't mind paying $3.99 for that one at all. Mm-hmm. At all. And then the other new book that I just picked up that's been out probably for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, is Mind Management by Matt Kent.
I've heard a lot of good things about that one.
It's really cool. It's put out by Dark Horse. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if all the books are going to be like this, but the first issue has no ads. It's 24 pages. And every single thing in the book, like everything, is tied into the story. Like the cover, the back cover, the inside back cover, the inside front cover. Mm-hmm. Everything ties into the story that he's telling. Like the back cover itself, it looks like it's an ad for chewing gum, and then you start to read it and you realize, no, it's not. It's part of the story. It's part of the.
Okay, that's cool. That sounds cool.
It's a fun book. Like Matt Kent, when he was doing it, he was like, I don't really read monthly comics. This is the type of comic I would read if I were to read monthly comics. So it's packed full of little puzzles and mysteries that the readers are supposed to solve. And over the course of the first six issues, I think, you put the six back covers together, to form, I think it's to form like a big puzzle in it. And once you see the back covers together, there's clues there that will direct you to a website that will give you a little more information about the book. It's so cool the way he's laid it out. It's kind of, it looks very, it's just got a different look. Like the page layouts are kind of traditional 9-panel grid sort of things. But then in the borders, he's got little messages written to the reader on every single page. Like I guess the setup is sort of, the Mind Management is some sort of mysterious organization I think they're like mind readers or mind foolers, or like they can make you think things, I think. Hmm. And there's a plane lands, and there were like 121 people on the manifest, and 120 people left. And the people that left the plane have no memory of their life before the plane.
Oh wow!
Land. It's kind of cool. It's a mystery, and it's kind of espionage-y, and it's really, really cool. So every, like, you flip to page, I don't know, page three, and it'll say Mind Management Field Guide 1.3. If discovered, be sure to follow erasure protocols and burn all written materials, including one-time pads, mind paper, as well as this field guide. So, and then that kind of, within that page, you've got stuff that are burning up and things, and it's neat the way he's using like every square centimeter of the page to tell the story. It's highly recommended. Check it out.
It's a good use of funds, is what you're saying.
Oh my gosh, totally.
Yeah, Dark Horse has a digital app too. They just it's completely separate. But I've bought stuff from them. They got a lot of good Star Wars stuff.
God, I heard a coworker actually, not a big comic book guy, but he is huge into the Star Wars books from Dark Horse.
The ones I've read are really good. John Ostrander does a lot of them. So.
Yeah. This guy, he's reading the something in the Empire. It's set in the future where it's, I think it's Cade Skywalker is the main character.
Oh, yeah. That series is actually ended, but they did a miniseries after. But, yeah, that was it was called – what was that called? I read that for a while. I've been buying the ones I haven't read on digital every once in a while. They'll have like a bundle and you save like a couple of bucks off of, you know, if you bought them separate. But yeah, that's a good one. And then they're doing one that's basically way in the past before the Force was discovered fully.
Okay, long, long, long time ago.
Yeah. Like millions, you know,
long, 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 long time.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. And I, you know, that's I've been getting that. When, well, it shows up at the comic shop sporadically, but I have most of them on there, bought most of them online. So.
What was that?
I don't know.
That was my phone. I was just getting a text.
All right, then.
It's okay. I'm not reading it. I'm ignoring it. But
oh, well,
it's
that's
just
fine.
Alerting me to the fact that it's there.
Okay.
Murray, you have a text. Murray, you have a text.
Oh, that's funny.
Did you mention in your email something? Come on, you can actually go through one of these without mentioning Archie comic. Are you kidding?
Well, now that you mention it, Archie Comics is quite good. We've got Mr. Lodge, who is acting like the Psycho Pirate. He's the only one that remembers the multiple Archie Earths. He's going crazy. It's driving him banana cakes. He can't run his company.
Okay.
It's awesome. It's so cool.
This isn't an Archie comic.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting.
Now, which Archie is this? Just out of curiosity, because there's like 15 different Archie books.
It's called Life with Archie.
It is in the Life with Archie book. Okay.
It is. It's kind of. It's bigger than a comic. Like it's a little bigger. But you get two full stories in it.
Bigger than a comic, smaller than a TV. Okay.
Yeah. Totally. Jughead and what's her name, Big Ethel, might be getting back together in one of the realities. So if you ever wanted to see the two of them together, if you ever wanted to see the two of them hook up,
oh my.
It's going to happen. In one of the other realities, however, Jughead is having a baby with Midge. Midge.
Oh, okay. I thought you said he was having a baby.
Well, with.
Okay. Well, I'm just clarifying. It sounds like things are pretty crazy over there.
They're not that crazy.
Oh, no. Okay. All right.
Totally grounded in reality.
And
Moose is okay with this?
Moose, in that reality, is okay with it. He is the school custodian, I believe.
Wow.
And he's dating... I think he's dating a blind something or other.
Sounds like you need a spreadsheet to keep track of all that, man.
Well, you really do, because in the other reality, Moose is the mayor. He's the mayor of Riverdale.
Now, in which reality did the teacher die?
I think she's gone in both of them. Miss,
oh, okay.
Miss, what's her name?
Crabtree or something like that, right? No, that's not right. That's not right.
Mr. Weatherby and Miss... What is her name? Doesn't matter because she's dead. She's gone.
She's dead. There was a body, so there was a death. Okay.
All right, then.
Yes.
She's going to come back Ben Kenobi style. And,
Evil twin.
Evil twin. See, you mentioned something about that Saga book, too.
Oh, Saga. Yeah, I've been reading Saga.
Oh, God.
What?
You've been reading it, Caleb?
I have. Damn it, I have, yes.
And
is that a good damn it or a bad damn it?
No, it's a great damn it. Brian K. Vaughan is back when he, like, just like the up through issue 48 of Why the Last Man. Or what was the last issue of Why? Was it 50 or was it 75? But
I think
it was 60.
Or 60, whatever, 2 inches before the end of the series, he was really hitting on all high points, and then he dropped. Something happened in the last 2 issues, but he's back, which is hardcore.
Yeah, I'm liking it. There are things about it that bug me a little bit, but the story's pretty cool. It's a neat. I like it. Like, I can't even really describe it as a... It's kind of a love story. It's,
from what I read of it, it seemed like it.
Yeah, but it's a love story set against, I guess, a big war between cultures and religions and stuff. And he's doing some cool world building. Like, that's... It's
yes.
It's a good read. It is a good read.
I find the things that kick me out of the book are, I don't know, like the cursing. That makes me sound like just a...
Oh, so there's a lot of cussing in there, huh?
Not a lot.
There is.
Not a
lot. Well, I wouldn't say that there's a lot, but it seems, I don't know, to me it seems out of, it seems very 21st century Earth when this is not a 21st century Earth place.
What is that term, anachronistic? Is that the right word?
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know, like, to me I would be expecting like a frack or a whatever, and instead he's dropping F-bombs and you know what, it's a choice he's making as a writer, I guess, to, I don't know, ground it in reality or to show that, I don't know what it's showing.
He's showing that, you know, it's his book, he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Well, that's part of it.
What was that one book, and it might even still be going, I think it's called Age of Bronze, where it's Vikings, but they talk like they're in the 20th century, the 21st century.
It seems like I've heard about that.
Yeah, and that might be the route he's going, right? Like, even though this is the future, they're relatable, and they're real people, and we're going to treat them like they're just people you would see down the street, even though they have horns and wings, but... So, I mean, to me, it's just a little irk. Like, it always kicks me out of the story, but other people I know love it because it's gritty and it's real and it's real.
I love how it's narrated by the baby.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Now, see, now that sounds interesting to me.
But it's narrated by the baby. She's, like, writing a journal, like, X number of years in the future, talking about the events that are going on and Fiona Staples, who's doing the art, she's as much of the world building as Brian K. Vaughan, easily.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they work really well together.
Huh.
And a sextillion was a really cool looking place. I don't think I could go there, but it was really, it's basically a pleasure planet.
Seems like I heard about that. Yes, controversy.
Whatever.
You know what, though? It was nothing. It was nothing that you wouldn't see.
I'm just saying. I saw something in passing. So.
Yeah. No, I've read it too, but I think...
Four issues.
Like, really, I don't think there was anything in that issue that you wouldn't have seen in, like, a Vertigo book.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, this could easily... Yeah, I'm glad that it's with Image, but it also could easily have gone Vertigo, so...
Well, didn't they just cancel his last Vertigo book?
I didn't know he had a last one. I thought his last one was Y, but that's just me.
That's just me too. I don't know.
No, he did Y, and then he did Ex Machina, but that one ended.
Oh yeah, a long time.
That one ended a couple years ago, and that was with.
God, I forgot about Ex Machina, right? Yeah,
that was with Watson.
That went out with a whimper, didn't it?
That was another series that did not end well. See, that is my worry for this book. As cool as the story he's telling is going to be, I'm so worried he's going to F up the ending. And I don't think he's...
Maybe he's not planning on ending it.
Well, at some point. I mean, eventually it's going to end, right? Like, I don't know. I think I don't think he sees his endings as being weak. I think he probably believes in them because he's a capital W writer and this is the way the story needs to be told. But as
I like
a capital
how you put
R...
That.
Well, you know, like, there's a whole crop of writers right now that see themselves as, we are serious writers. Look at my beret. Look at my Corona typewriter. Like, they're...
Smoking smelly cigarettes. Yeah.
Totally. Like, there's a whole generation of writers that are very, we are serious. We are real writers. We are right. You know, like, ugh. And Brian K. Vaughan is great. He's good, but he's one of them. Like, he's caught up in his writerness.
So,
so, I mean, his endings are very writerly. This is the way it must end. But as a capital R reader, I have to disagree. I want a happy ending, or I want a sad ending that's going to make me cry, or I want an ending that I'm going to go, wow! I don't want
mm-hmm. ending where I look at the characters and go, wow, they suck. That was 60 issues of like, it took 60 issues to get to you suck. No,
and you want closure and definitely.
I do. I want closure. I want emotion. I want catharsis. I want, and these are all big writer words too that they should know. But yeah,
why had almost no closure? The door was
oh, it was blown off and swinging in the wind. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible ending to such a good series.
I find it hard to believe he did not have something to do with the last episode of Lost. I know he was off the show by then, but
yes, yeah, that was another series of "We are writers, watch us write." We are writing.
Oh, I was so hacked off at the end of that show. I tell you,
if you had been Chris, if you had been a regular reader of Why the Last Man, you to this day you would still, as Marie and I, would be hacked off at the way that series ended.
Oh, you know what? I can't even go back and reread it.
That's bad.
It's. I tried. Like after the first time I read the ending, I thought, ugh. I can't believe it. And then I reread the series, and I reread the ending, and I like, it just doesn't work. Now, I reread it pretty close to after when it's been a couple of years. So if I were to go back and reread it now, perhaps I would feel better about it, but I think I probably wouldn't. I just think I wouldn't. I'm looking for, whatever I was looking for was not to be found in the last couple of issues.
Yeah.
There should have been something, and there was close to nothing. And you're right, it was an ending he wanted to see, but he forgot that the only reason the book was there was because of the readers.
Sometimes they forget that. You know? Writers forget that.
They go, "Ooh, it's my property. I own this." It's like, "Yeah, great. Perfect." But just ask Mr. Lucas how much grief he's gotten over property.
that I'm concerned about how Irredeemable is going to end for that very reason.
Didn't it end? Hasn't it ended?
Yeah, the last issue was out recently. I've been getting it in trade.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm like two or three trades behind. So there might be something that's happened that would have already pissed me off that I just haven't read it yet.
right. Okay.
So
you haven't heard about him saving the little kitten from the tree? And...
Yeah, exactly. It could be in there,
Maybe it is.
Whoa.
And then the mom slapped the little girl. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's Superman 1. I'm sorry.
Now, okay, before we get...
I'm gonna have a question, and I apologize for interrupting. But are we entitled to a? If you ask somebody like Paul French, he's like, "Well, we're not entitled to anything with these books as the readers." But do you think with something like where you've invested 59 issues of reading, and we get issue 60, do you think you're entitled as a reader to an ending?
Well, okay, let's put it this way: there's entitled and there's entitlement. I think. For example, you read a message board on an MMO, and the people that gripe on there, and I don't think like that. I mean, they think they're entitled because I spent this money that everything I want should be in this game. No, not necessarily that far. But I still think that the writer needs to have the reader – I mean, reader – in mind.
Okay.
But if we pay money for something and maybe time invested, I don't know. But I mean, it's kind of like, those people that try to keep shows off of TV. There's two knobs on the TV. There's the channel changer. Well, there used to be knobs on the TV. They don't have knobs anymore.
Old man.
Yeah. There's a channel changer and the volume. If you don't like it, use one of them,
Yeah.
So, you could look at it that way too. But I'm not one of those that, Power Girl has got a different costume, and it's not like it was before, so I'm going to, you know, boycott you or...
Or send waffles. You're going to send waffles.
Yeah, or rainbow-colored
Oreos. Or what food could have a big boob window? Hmm.
Yeah. Rainbow-colored Oreos. I'm not going to buy Oreos anymore because I'm so offended. That kind of crap. Or, you know... You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That kind of stuff. See, that crap aggravates me. But, you know.
I think we should have gotten better endings. And I you know, if Saga continues, you're right, Murray. I will be on pins and needles as the last issue is solicited as to whether he's going to screw the pooch again.
Yeah. Until then, though, it's been a good ride.
Yeah, oh, it is. It is. The good characters, the will.
Yeah, the characters are deep. They're well drawn. They're pretty complex. There's so many directions he could go, and there's so much to explore that it's cool to see.
Well, crap. Yeah. I have to buy an issue of that then.
Oh, and they've all got, I mean, incredibly unique personalities, and it's a great cast so far.
Yeah.
And he's got little R2-D2 type, you know, character that's hanging out with this bounty hunter called the Will. Or he's not a bounty hunter. What is he? He's a mercenary.
Yeah.
What is it? The liar cat? Or what is it? What is that character called?
It's the cat that lies or the.
and the names of the characters are great. I mean, even the names. I mean, the Will is a character.
Yes.
I'd be interested to see how this goes. And yeah, Chris, at least pick up number one. See how it reads.
Cause yeah,
number one is a long read too. I think it's something like 30 some odd pages.
Size,
47. I just looked at it on Comicology. Comicsology.
Yeah, it's cool.
And it's only $1.99.
There you go. It's worth the $2.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I'll have to check it out then.
You should.
Yes, you will. You will enjoy it.
Before we get too much farther, I wanted to touch base over the before Watchmen stuff. I know, Murray, you said you hadn't read too much of it yet.
Yeah, but, I've only read Minutemen and Silk Spectre, and that's probably all I'm going to read, I think. Like, I think for me, Watchmen was more the story and the way the story was told than it was the characters. So...
Yeah.
If there are cool creative teams, I'll pick up the issues to see what they're like. And the only creative teams that are really catching my eye are Darwin Cook and Amanda Connor.
Oh, yeah.
No, Azzarello did a really good job with the comedian. It was
That was the one I was going to buy the first one and then see how it went. But just because it was Azzarello, and that one was really good. I enjoyed it. Yes. I've liked all of them. I just got through reading the Night Owl one before we started podcasting. And I think they're all just very well done stuff.
The one thing I noticed with the Darwin Cook ones, and if you go back and look at him, he's using the 9-panel grid like Gibbons used on the original series.
I hear you and Paul and other people talk about. And I never noticed those things. I don't know why. It's just like I get into it and I don't think about the how the layout is, but I should be looking at it more.
Well, and which is not to say that Azzarello and I can't remember the artist on the comedian are dissing, you know, what Gibbons and Moore did with Watchmen.
J.G. Jones, which I was surprised to see.
Well, yeah, it was J.G. Jones, exactly. But I think it was really cool that Cook and then again Amanda Connor on Silk Spectre. Not necessarily paid homage to the original series, but you know, if you're gonna do it, you know, try and keep a little consistency, and I think that was cool. Which is not to say the comedian was not a really cool read. I haven't read Night Owl yet, but so far. You know, all the naysayers before all this came out when they were bitching and whining 6 months ago,
and for a while I was one of those. But go ahead.
It's fine. It's good. It's good comic books.
Yeah, it really is. It's really good. I really enjoyed Night Owl.
Okay.
Yeah, I really did. As much as I've maligned JMS for his lack of finishing stuff. Hopefully he's actually already written all of these issues.
What's his other book?
I think it's the Dr. Manhattan one.
I think so, yeah.
But yeah, that was really good. I really enjoyed it. And I got the feel of the original from them, I thought. The weight of it, I guess, would be the word I would use.
Yeah, they're not changing the voice that Alan Moore brought to the book. They're not saying, okay, well, you know, screw Alan Moore, what a hack, you know, I like this character, I'm gonna go into his sandbox, but I'm gonna play with the toys the way I want to play with them. Mm-hmm. They're saying, okay, there is a reverence that they're bringing to recreating or creating more history for these characters, and I'm glad for that.
I am too.
Yeah, there's. I was just listening to Word Balloon, and Amanda Connor was being interviewed, and she was, like, she was so enthusiastic about this project, and she was so enthusiastic about the Watchmen. Like, she was, she's treating this as like a big deal, and she wants to, yeah, like she wants her book to be something that how did she word it? I can't remember. But, like, she was so enthusiastic about The Watchmen, and she really loved reading it, and so this is her chance to kind of, yeah, pay homage to it and to add something to the world she was taking part because she was really enthusiastic about it. She's excited about it. It was coming through in every word she said. It was cool to hear.
Yeah, Moore and Gibbons. I mean, when you mentioned the term world building when we were talking about Saga, they built a world here, and now these guys are getting an opportunity to come in and live in that world or be a part of that world for 6 months. And thank goodness they're not taking it for granted. I mean, again, I haven't read the JMS one yet, but I'm assuming that, you know, he is also going to be good about it
It seemed like he did.
Okay, yeah, because Azzarello was really good. I mean, he took the character of the comedian and said, okay, this is what Alan Moore made him, and you can see there's a pathos, that sadness that the comedian carried with him in the scenes, the flashbacks in Watchmen, and also the anger, and then the same with the Silk Spectre. She always seemed, you know. Up to a point, she almost seemed like a shallow character, but there was also that she really has a lot to prove, and you can see that this is where it came from. That scene where she's fighting her mom, that was great.
Yeah, that was. It really was. There was that intensity that was definitely there.
Yeah, and then the Minutemen book was, I mean, Darwin Cook, for goodness sake, talk about a guy who loves the history of comic books and is willing to play there. I mean, New Frontier.
I thought the Minutemen one he did and the Silk Spectre, there was up there with the same quality as that as his New Frontier.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, I don't know where the Minutemen is going. Like, Silk Spectre, I have a pretty clear idea of what story they're telling. Mm-hmm. Minutemen, I don't know yet. Like, it to me, it was much more of an introduction. Like, here are all the characters we're playing with. Let's give them a couple of pages that really hammer in their character, and then we'll get to the story next.
Yeah.
So, like, thematically, I don't know what's going on.
Well, it to me, it kind of made me think that it... There was it's fleshing out some of the text pieces to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. True.
Because, I mean, that's kind of – it's right after he was retired and was starting – or the book – he was in the middle of writing the book.
Right.
So that's what I got was getting out of it, that he was
Go ahead. I was just going to say, we're going to get an opportunity with Minutemen to see the other characters that were not the main Watchmen in, or not the main characters from Watchmen. You know, we're not going to...
That was one thing I wanted to see more of. So.
Yeah, well, this could be our chance.
You will get our chance. Now, yeah, are they, I've forgotten, are they four issues or are they six issue?
It depends on which one.
Okay.
A couple of them are six, a couple of them are four, yeah.
Right. It just depends on which one you're looking at. But I wasn't sure I was going to get all of them, but these have been good enough that I probably will at least try all the others too. And probably get all of them.
Gotcha.
So, yeah,
real quick,
I know.
The backup, the Tale of the Black Freighter backup, anybody?
Yeah.
I could leave or take that. It's neat, but yeah, I could leave or take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one that you have to probably read. Like, if you're not getting all the books, then it's two pages that aren't going to... They might be a good two pages, but they're a good two pages in isolation, right? Like, they're not...
They're on DC's website, too, so...
Are they? So I could get the whole...
You could read through all of them for free.
Jibber-jabber.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
The pirate stuff, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Marie says, jibber jabber, take a drink.
All right.
We are at almost 2 hours here, guys.
Yes, I know. That's I was going to say we should probably wrap it up.
All righty.
So, what was I going to say?
Overall, it's a good time to be a comic book fan.
I think so. There's a lot of good stuff out there. The digital part of it makes it easier than ever to get to read a wider variety of stuff. Maybe taking chances. And that Legends of the Dark Knight series makes me think about maybe writing a 8 or 10 page Batman story and trying to get it to up the chain somehow. I know they don't take that stuff, but you never know.
Self-publish it.
Just hack their website.
I could probably do that.
Put it up there.
That's been done before. but anyway, yeah, so that kind of wraps it up for this week. We've covered a lot of topics. If you would like to comment on this or any other episode, be like Robin and give us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. And you can check us out on the Facebook page. Let us know how you think, what you think of that as well. Just do a little search for us. We're on there. And, of course, you can comment on this or any other episode on the actual website, talesfromthelongbox.com/the show. New website, new and improved and not near as long to load. So, I hope.
Connected to iTunes, thank God.
Yes, and back on iTunes, yes. We are on iTunes. Hopefully that's you're listening to us from iTunes already. But anyway, that's about it for this week. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
And bye.